This episode of Las Chicas del Crime contains explicit content not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hola, you're listening to Las Chicas del Crime, a podcast where tres amigas sit down and talk all things true crime for Hispanic and American crimes.
¿Quién somos?
I'm Osa.
I'm Kat.
And I'm Jen.
Y somos las chicas del crime. Woo!
Go.
Hola.
Hola, hola, hola.
Hello, everyone.
Sunday fun day. We are here. Just got off our live. Mad people joined.
Thank y'all.
That was good.
Had a good ass time. Answer some questions. What it do, boo?
That was good. We had a good time.
Yes. Yeah, we had a good
Thanks time. For coming in and sharing with us your Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Hope you.
Even though it'll be some time before you hear this, but back when we had that one live.
I was thinking that too. I was like, oh, wait.
Back when we had that one live, and we are in August.
It's August 15th.
Yeah. Back when we had that one live that day, thank you if you showed up.
Yes. We appreciate it.
And interacted with us.
That was our second live, right?
Yeah, we don't really do many lives.
Oh, whoever's car that is.
Okay,
so
someone's car just
loud.
And you know what? There is someone who lives in my apartment complex. It has been 2:30 in the morning before, and I just happened to wake up. And someone's car, I'm really giving them the fact that they're coming home from work, and that is why.
I don't think so.
Well, every day of the week.
Yeah, people be outside every day.
I don't know. And if you're just coming back from fucking off, then fuck you, because your shit is loud as fuck. But if you're coming home from work, okay, whatever. But it literally rumbles in the wall, in the windows, and it's the one, like, every inch of the car moving is vroom, vroom. And then he speeds off just to go an inch away. And it's like, you're just waking everybody up. Thank you. I don't like it, but whatever. It's so loud. And there's a lot of cars here that are like that. I'm also in the middle of, like, Carewood / Town the Country, so it's just a lot of those cars around here.
We used to call those Mira Mira cars.
Mira Mira cars.
If you have a car that makes a sound like that, you're from AP, pretty much, is what people know you like in Tampa. But, yeah, guys, I'm here with a new cane.
Yeah.
Oh, I ate, and I'm sleepy, so let's get this popping. Anyways, today I'm going to talk about Ruth Werner. Ruth Werner has been on a motherfucking chokehold since I read her book. Her book is called...
The Sound of Gravel.
The Sound of Gravel. It is a memoir by Ruth, and her siblings helped her, and we'll talk about her siblings and stuff. It's, I'm going to try to stick to her story, even though there's a lot of back stuff that I'm going to have to include so everybody can know what the fuck we are talking about. Ruth was born to Kathy and Joseph. She was Kathy's fourth child and Joseph's 39th child.
Oh, God.
Damn.
Wait. Okay, give us a time frame, like a date. When was this?
We're going to get to it.
39 children.
Not in 2021.
I mean, that shows how easy it is for men to just be like, bloop, 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 bloop.
Well, it's not 2020.
No way. No, there's no way it's not.
But it's still going.
When was this around?
Hold on, I'm trying. You know what? For whatever reason, she didn't add dates, so I didn't look for dates. But.
Late 60s or early 70s? Here in 76, I don't know which one she is in this picture, but she's probably give or take. If she's a little girl, she's probably like 4 or 5 in 76.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't get, like, all of my research did not give me a birthday, no nothing, because they don't celebrate stuff like that. They don't, there's fucking 30 plus children. They're not going to give a fuck about a birthday. And she doesn't mention it in her book, so we'll get to it. Joseph, Kathy was Joseph's fifth wife.
Okay.
Yeah. This is sounding, okay. Mm.
So yes, we're basically speaking about a cult.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth, better known as Ruthie, grew up in a polygamous Mormon colony known as Colonia Leverón, which, oh my God, trying to fucking find anything about Colonia Leverón I'll take you back to LeBron James because it's so closely spelled. God. And I'm like, I do not want to know about Mr. LeBron James. I want to know about the Lebanon colony located in none other than Mexico.
Oh.
Because although Rosie was of American descent, she was Mexican. Most of Kathy's kids were born in Mexico.
Okay.
Wow,
this is interesting.
Very interesting. So the colony is, it was in Chihuahua, Mexico, to be exact, okay. So right off the border. Ruthie's grandfather, Almar Dianer Leverón, formed a church because he believed in the word of Joseph Smith. And let me tell y'all about motherfucking Joseph Smith before getting into the rest of Ruthie's story. Joseph Smith was a son of a farmer. He was very poor, who quote-unquote found a golden plate, which he said was put on earth by God for him to follow. This golden plate was not like in an English. It was in another language. Mm-hmm. And this man, Joseph, was able to quote-unquote translate it. After he translated, the plate was never found again.
Wait, what?
It's a bunch of bullshit. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. If you're religious, come on, man. Come on. Yeah. Anyways. Joseph said a lot of bullshit, like I said, and one of those things were that above anything, women must be obedient. That is the one way into heaven. Women's obedience is the one way into heaven. He also said things like, blacks were subhuman beasts of the field, which made them the most intelligent animals as they could walk and talk, but they were not equal to a human. So not only was he a sexist,
he was a fucking racist.
He said that, I think it comes up later, but I'm going to say it now. He said that according to him, God told him that black people were made by the devil.
Oye, tú qué estupidez. What the fuck? If only he knew.
Right.
If only he knew.
Girl,
that the real God
is black.
Is lovely color.
Yes, like a pigmented man. So he also said that polygamy. He also said that polygamy was also God's will and was the way to the eternal life in God's heaven.
Okay, I mean, granted, I know polygamy is in the Bible and whatnot and all weird stuff.
Well, we're gonna get to it. Oh, we're going to get to how much bullshit polygamy is. But this is too much.
But yeah, this is starting to get hot.
Yeah.
Let me sip some of this honey whiskey here.
But somehow, ironically, only Joseph and a couple of his quote-unquote saints were allowed to have several wives on the low.
Of course.
So they weren't out about polygamy. They were just having polygamy, whatever. It was not until he was killed and the colony moved to what now is known as Utah that they were about polygamy and it being the quote-unquote will of the Lord. The saint that eventually took over after Joseph was killed said that polygamy was best because it helped men stay faithful to their wives.
Oh, what the fuck?
And I'm actually currently reading a book about Mormonism or whatever it's fucking called. I don't want to be disrespectful, but it's a bunch of bullshit. It's called Under the Banner of Heaven, and is a story of violent faith. Basically, in this motherfucking story, some of the saints were trying to get their brother to convert to Mormonism and polygamy, and his wife was against it. So they went and killed the wife and the kid because according to them, that's what God came and told them to do.
Okay.
What the hell?
God don't talk shit like
no,
that.
No, he does
so
not.
First of all.
You see, that's the thing. That's
people
why.
People be trying to put mm-hmm. shit they do justified by God told me to.
You know,
God
that's
told
just
me.
So wrong.
And one
God
thing.
God is a homie, man.
And one thing I'm going to tell y'all, I'm going to tell you about this shit. It just, I think it's very odd how they had all these revelations with, like, no backup of it. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, oh, Kat, I had a revelation today. You're going to have to marry a 55-year-old and that's what you got to do as a 14-year-old. Like, no. What the fuck is that? Exactly. Like, what kind of revelation is that?
That's that dumb Handmaid's Tale shit right there.
Yes. So that little thing that we just talked about was how this started. The Mormons and polygamy whole bullshit started. So Ruthie's grandfather, who we just talked about, that started the LeBron, the LeBron colony. LeBron. That's what his beliefs were from Joseph.
Okay.
And then he moved. So the grandfather moved to Mexico because he said that the Americas was the Babylon and they had the wrong teachings about it. They hated the government. The government was always in your business, blah, 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 blah. We'll get to it and how much bullshit they fucking... Okay.
Uh-huh. I'm interested in
now
this.
That he said the Americas and moved to Mexico.
Right. I said the Americas. I was being funny. No. He's saying like United States was the Babylon of the world or whatever.
Got it.
So when Ruthie's grandfather died, he let his sons take over. One of them was Ruthie's dad and an uncle. They were like head saints. There were other siblings, but we're not going to get into them because it's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
They ran the colony just fine, but then Ruthie's dad, Joseph, realized that his brother Irvin was stealing money and not serving God's word. Okay. Which, whatever fucking word they felt like it was that day, because, you know, they had revelations every day. Erville believed the same thing as the other folks we were just talking about, that if you left the colony, you had to be killed.
Oh my God. I'm just trying to get away from y'all fucking crazy ass motherfucking people.
Cold, yeah. Shit was a mess. Yeah, leave me alone. They was on some real gang shit. I'm sorry, but it was a gang. Like, yeah. Same beliefs, wearing the same clothes. If you know what makes a gang, it's pretty much that. Yeah. So then Ervo eventually got Joseph's gun. He got 3 of his followers to kill Joseph.
Oh, my God.
Leaving about 50 kids fatherless because my man was having a lot of kids.
Oh, my God. That's a lot.
That's a lot of kids.
First of all, these are a lot of children, period. And, you know, it's so weird to me and so upsetting how, like, cults very much objectify children as opposed to, like, actually love them.
Yeah.
And we will get to it, but it's like... Okay, it is estimated that the brother, Ervil, because I told y'all, I've been reading books.
Yeah, you were a few books in, which, side note, is a lot because for the fact that you have a paper book.
I bought a paper book.
Yeah, because also
she don't buy paperback. She listens to hella motherfucking books.
She's all about audiobooks. Granted, because you are working a lot of the time. And it's easier. It's a lot easier for you, so I feel you. But that's even more.
But my dog went and got a book.
She went and bought a fucking book. I'm so proud, girl.
Thank you. So in the other book that I read, which is also by one of Herbal's daughter.
Okay.
One of the 50?
Herbal had more. Joseph is the 50 father. The father of 50. Herbal had a bunch more. It was called The Polygamous Daughter. That's what it's called.
Wow. Definitely scoop this up.
It's really good. It's on the audiobooks. You have the app.
Okay. Yeah, okay,
good. It's a really good app. It's a good book.
You're going to have to read this.
Yes.
I was trying to look for a book in the other day, but I'm like, I got to ask Olson because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
So in the other book, like I said, which is The Polygamous Daughter, they said that Ervil had rent up around $1 million of government help for all his kids.
Okay. Maybe he's the reason why they put people can't have more than 10 kids on child support.
He's not paying child support.
Or, like, to get, like, government help and stuff. Yeah, like,
he's getting straight. But it's different. I'm going to tell you how. So, a lot of the wives weren't recognized as wives because, you know, America, they don't believe in polygamy.
Right.
So, Levon were quote-unquote single moms, so they would still get the help for all your kids. But they're against the government, but they're okay with government help. And they will say that because this was God's will. This was God wanted to do. Bitch, you lying, stealing, and cheating. Stop playing with me.
All of that.
You just like every other one of them.
All of that.
So
just playing out here.
Ruthie was 3 months old when her father was got killed. Mudda.
Deceased. Finished him.
And actually, she was there when her father got killed, but not. She didn't see it. They went to do a work. He brought his kids and all his wives. The wives went to look for a phone, and then he got killed when nobody else was there. I think only one of his million kids was there, but only one. So then Kathy, who is Ruth's mom, eventually married a piece of hot garbage called Lane.
Oh my God.
I call him Lane the fucking lame because I hate this motherfucker.
Lane the lame.
Lane the
Ruthie
lame.
Was 3 years old when Kathy became Lane's second wife.
Oh, gosh. If, already
you know what? Being just second in this kind of situation, it's like good.
Well.
That's just the second. When it's like.
It is good because it goes by, like if you're the first wife, you have first say on everything, like first dibs on everything, second wife or whatever. But.
Be like, you're the 30th. Where the freaking house gets blown up like in the middle of nowhere in like I think it's Texas.
Oh, Waco.
Yeah.
Oh, we need to put that.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a good one. That fool's nuts.
That what? That shit was crazy.
Oh, Cherry Hill, too. Cherry Hill's another one. Y'all know about Cherry Hill?
No, I don't.
Listeners don't go research, but y'all. Yeah, definitely. It's a good one. It's a good one.
So what happened?
Yes, let us know.
So, by the end of this episode, if y'all hate anybody, y'all gonna hate Lane the Lame. There's a lot of shit that's wrong in this cult, but Lane the fucking Lame, bro. I'm stressed already thinking about it. So, for whatever reason, Kathy kept having kids with issues, which is not good. Because they believe that men and women are supposed to have as many kids as they can afford. And they're supposed to be healthy kids to, you know, fucking explode them. Because that's what the fuck they be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Ruthie's siblings at this point, because she just got remarried. Ruthie's only three. She had Audrey, who eventually we find out that has a lot of psychological issues. She's schizophrenic. She's obviously malnourished because they're not really eating right because they're not, you know, all of that stuff. She has Matt, who Ruthie said was Kathy's smartest and most handsome child. She had Lukey, who also had a bit of a delay. I don't go into every single detail of everything, but if you read the book, his reactions to certain things sounds like he was in the spectrum. Just like he got too excited when things were too rowdy. He got lost. He had an obsession with paper, so he would go to like he would just leave the house at 5 years old, like really young. And Kathy couldn't do nothing because she had like 500 other fucking kids to take care of. He would go and, like, look for paper. Just, like, look for, like, newspaper and stuff. So, stuff like that.
Oh, my God, yeah. My autistic child he's not a child. He's a teenager. But he is really, gets really into ripping pieces of paper.
Yeah,
He literally goes, rip? I'm like, we're not ripping the paper, please. And then sometimes I just let him have a little moment. I'm like, okay, just a few. And he'll rip a few, and then he's overjoyed, and then, you know, that's not
right.
Okay.
So, Ruthie was 5 when the book started, so that's where I'm going to start. But she did go back to, like, Lane. I was 3 when Lane came around or whatever. So, when Ruthie was 5, Kathy gave her first birth, gave birth to her first child with Lane the Lame, Aaron. Ruthie became her little helper because usually in those families, from what they said, now guys, I don't believe in this shit. Like, I don't believe in polygamy and whatever the fuck they got going on. But everything I got was from my research. None of this is my opinion. Yeah, I mean, y'all can see what my opinion is on it. This is just what she said. This is what I'm going based off. Do not come for me. And honestly, if you're in a polygamy cult, don't come for me at all. Just fuck out of here. Go find yourself. Just fuck out of here. Not if you're being held hostage, because if you're a child, we understand. I'm talking about, like, grown people coming for me. Fuck
out of here. And it's a different if you're in a polygamous relationship. We're not shaming that. That's a different story.
I'm talking about the cult.
But a cult aspect of it, to where you're victimizing people, you're manipulating, you're abusing people, exploiting people. That is the problem here. So let's not confuse. Just want to clarify that
part.
You know,
That part.
Yeah, fuck the other part. But if you down for the polygamy relationships, you're enjoying a throuple, by all means, do what you do. We all here for the openness, but
not this cult shit.
But don't, shit. Yeah, all peace, love, okay? Cult shit, bye bye.
All right.
Just want to make a disclaimer.
No, for sure. I am so behind you. So usually when more kids were born, the oldest sister became the helper, like the mom's helper. But since Audrey had her problems, she couldn't help. So Ruthie had to step up. So at 5 years old, she had to step up and take care of kids, which is bullshit.
That's not how. Five. Like, you barely can still use the bathroom. You can barely wipe your ass at five.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Poor child.
Although their religion cult, whatever the fuck you guys want to call it, said that, this is quote-unquote, a man and a woman were on earth to bear as many kids as they could afford. They can't afford these kids because they're living off the fucking government. If you're living off the government, you cannot afford kids. If you keep having kids while living off the government, you are a fucking problem. You are the reason why... there's such a fucking problem. And this cult is most definitely the reason why they were, like, the problem with...
Again, abusing and exploiting.
Yes. Because they didn't even live in the United States. They lived in Mexico. So they would cross the border every month to get all their benefits and go back to the to Mexico, which is bullshit.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Kathy, like I said earlier, Kathy was able to get government assistance because her marriage was not recognized by the government as... She was in a, like, she was the second wife of a man. And so in the America, I can't say the America, that's just a joke. So in the United States, she was recognized as a single mother who was eligible for help. Again, this is ironic because, like I said earlier, I kind of went back and forth my notes, but I'm just going to go through my notes. They called the United States of Babylon and said that the government was against God and their teachings. Yet, they took full advantage of their fucking help. Full. Like, full-blown advantage. Yes.
Yeah.
Even with the help, they were struggling. Because there's a bunch of kids. And, like, so, Lane DeLame has... Yeah, Kathy's his second wife.
I love
wife.
You've really coined that. You've really coined Lane DeLame. Because fuck him, I feel like.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to get so bad.
I don't even know yet. And it's like, okay, so I guess fuck
but
him.
But it's major fuck Lane DeLame.
Yes, fucking. We are doing like a, what is that called? Like a
strike?
A strike against Lane DeLame and anybody who he could be like. So even with, like I said, even with the help, they were only able to eat, like, rice and beans on the daily. They were, anything they made was, like, off, like they, it was handmade. Milk was with, the powdered milk and water because it's cheaper.
Damn.
Yeah. So it's fucking ironic because, like I said, they believe that the father is supposed to provide for his wives and children, which is why he's allowed to have all these wives and children. But come to find out, Lane DeLame cannot motherfucking provide for any of his children, which why later all the kids work, the woman work, and the man did nothing but make, well, he did nothing but make more fucking kids, came and went, and he just did not work as much. He was just vibing with his families.
Wow. What a piece of mierda.
He was a really, oh my God, it gets so bad too.
I'm just disappointed that it's going to get worse from here, because I'm already like, how worse could you get?
Oh.
You birthed so many kids. Put them through all this struggle for what reason? For your own selfish
and like
pleasure and then greed.
Exactly, like they're like, oh, this is God wanted. God does not want fucking neglected children.
No, he the fuck does not.
Children that could barely fucking eat, and so at 6 years old, Ruthie started going to school. She was going to Mexican school across like a big interstate from where they lived at. And in the school, they only spoke Spanish, but Ruthie didn't speak Spanish. So a lot of the kids from the colony went to those schools because since they were in Mexico, a lot of the women in the colony were Mexican. And the teacher assigned a helper to Ruthie to help her, like, understand, of course. And her name was Natalia. Natalia then told her that she had seen Ruthie on Sunday services and that she was her sister by father. So Joseph was Natalia's father.
Okay.
You know, the deceased guy.
Joseph was everyone's fucking father.
Pretty much, because she then proceeded to point out another girl who was Brenda, who was also their sister.
Oh, my God.
And since that interaction, Ruthie, Natalia, and Brenda hung out together every day. Like, they were sisters. They hung out. They vibed out. Blah, 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 blah.
Cool.
Yes. At least they have each other. Yes. By this time, Kathy, who is Ruthie's mom, her mom was pregnant with a baby sister who she would later name Mary. And Mary also had issues.
Like, okay.
We'll get to it. You know, Ruthie's going to school. She's helping with Mary. She has Audrey, who has problems. She has Lukey. She has Matt. Just hanging out. Work, home. Well, she doesn't work, but she's just from home. But school, work, whatever. And then one day, Kathy came and got all her kids from school and drove her ass all the way to California.
Ooh, she said she was out of there?
She was out.
Peace the fuck out, and homeboy. We out.
She says, see you never.
Skirt, peace. Skirt.
Vete pa'l carajo.
Damn, she hit a skirt, skirt.
Skirt, skirt.
Bye.
So the reason Kathy had left Lane the Lame was because the night before, he had came home. So there's nights where... he has several wives, like one night is for wife number one, wife number two, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Lane the Lame had left Kathy's house for like a while. And before he left, Kathy had gave her money that she had put together from her government help to get a shower head because they didn't have running water, they didn't have electricity. Once again, that's not what God wants. God does not want you to live like a fucking homeless. Like, come on. So she gave him money to buy a shower head, which again, he's supposed to be providing. Don't know why she's giving money for anything.
Right.
Lane the Lame came home and there was no shower head. And when Kathy was like, hey, yo, my man's, where the fuck is the shower head? Mm. He was like, I gave it to my first wife, Alejandra.
Oh, Kathy said, fuck that shit. It was my shower head. I'm out.
And
you she wasn't with the shit.
Exactly. Kathy was like, no, that was my shower head. And he said, well, we're all a family, and I do whatever I want with the money that comes in.
No, fuck we not.
Okay. So since Kathy was not being an obedient wife, Lane the Lame beat her senseless.
Oh my gosh.
In front of the kids.
She just wanted a nice shower.
Right. She just wanted a shower.
This her fucking shower head.
Right. Like, go get my motherfucking shower head.
Go
buy
your own wife a fucking shower head.
Right.
Ain't shit got to do me.
Nothing.
I need to drink another one.
Please do.
Let me sip.
I'm feeling I drank my drink way too fast.
So, I was waiting for
the I feel case. Sleazy and sleepy, but it's a good.
I'm going to need you to wake up, my friends.
So, this is when Kathy went all the way to California with her parents, so Ruthie's grandparents, and Ruthie states that this was the best of her time that she remembers. She's like, I no longer had to drink watered-down milk. I was able to wake up, shower every day. Because they only shower once a week because they didn't have a shower head. She had to fucking...
Bucket it out.
Stop. Yeah.
I swear to God, I would just find the closest water...
Man, that's a bucket
body
every
of
day,
water.
No, fuck that.
No, fuck that bucket shit. They only did it once a week anyway.
I know.
So let me go find the closest body of water and just dunk myself in there. That's what I'm saying. Where's the closest lake? Where's the closest? Oh, God.
What did I even say?
Take it back, Cease.
Take it back.
Take it back, Cease.
Oh, my God. And it's so funny because, sis. Okay, so for whatever reason, at this time, Kathy was a white lady. But Kathy called her kid sis. She called Ruthie sis all the time. Like, but so did her dad and stuff. Like, it was a thing she said.
Sis? Like sister? Sis.
Yeah, like, she'll be like, don't worry about it, sis. We'll get through it.
Back then?
That yeah. Was the sis? She was like, don't worry about it, sis.
Let me find out.
Yeah, and actually, in the book, you get to, like...
So we late.
The, okay. Yeah, the granddad would call the kid sis, too. I don't know if it's something in their family. Oh, maybe like a thing. Or nothing, but it. That's what they would call it.
Maybe I don't know. I'm making sure.
But
it's
her daughter she's calling?
Yes,
yes. Maybe like to feel like, because they're all God, because they're all God's children.
Maybe. That sounds like it.
I don't know, but I mean.
I thought what you were thinking, like the whole sister wife thing, but it's her daughter, so whatever. Yeah, so but a lot of people do, you know, the daughters do become their sister wives eventually, at least with the other book I read, with Irvin, that's something that had happened. So...
Oh, no, that's crazy. I know.
I know.
No. This just gave me the heebie-jeebies.
It's so bad. It's so bad. But you're going to have so much fun reading the book. Because I got the book, and I'm letting Jen read it now because she's a reader. And yes. Since I already got all my information from it. And like I said, I highly recommend it because I do leave a lot of stuff out because the book is thick.
I mean, yeah. It's
so.
That's the thing is about we retell stories, but we can't put out
everything. Yeah, I'll be here for years.
Yeah, for real.
And yeah, I know I could talk for years. So I could, but I'm not. I'm not doing this yet.
Right.
So... You know, after a while of them living at Kathy's parents, because they were already in America, Kathy started taking Audrey for help because she had problems, Luke for help, and Mary for help. So she was getting 3 checks, government assistant because she was a single mom. So they eventually got their own little house.
Yes, Kathy. Okay.
Yes.
I'm just so glad she said fuck this.
Right.
Yes, but Kathy's, I'm sorry. I really hope Ruth doesn't listen to this because I know she loved her mom. But Kathy's a fucking disappointment. Jesus fucking Christ. Like, oh. So, okay. So then Mary was born with a problem that she was never able to be diagnosed other than that they said that she might have water in her brain, but they were not sure from what. She was limp all the time. She couldn't eat like regularly. They had to feed her through a tube.
That's exactly what that is.
Yes. So,
shout out to hydrocephalus survivors, by the way. Shout out. You can't survive it.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. She probably could have if she would have been taken care of. But
right.
Was a 5-year-old taking care of her. So, there's that. And Luke, like I said, he had problems. And then we know Audrey had problems. Kathy got her own house. She could get stuff from like garage sales. She was doing her thing. But
she found another pendejo, I bet you. Because you
I
know
wish
what?
She would have found another pendejo.
Oh no, the pendejo found her. Lane the lame found her. No!
Dang, why he came and looked for her in California.
Yeah, when Kathy got her own house, Lane the lame started coming around.
What a huele bicho.
Huele bicho indeed.
Oh my god.
And Ruthie
that
hated
son of
it.
A bitch.
As she should.
Yes, Ruthie says should, that even though. Yes, she said that even though she knew that he had been, like, basically her father figure all her life, she just never.
She wasn't with the shit.
She was not. Then one time, Lame the Lame was there. They had a really bad, incident with Audrey. And, you know, he left. She force-fed her because she wasn't eating either. He force-fed her. Audrey was just not having it. For the Valentine's Day, which was one of the holidays that, for whatever reason, Kathy celebrated a lot. Kathy loved Valentine's Day. She came in, grabbed the kids' foods and stuff. Because Lane was coming and going, but he wasn't staying. And Audrey started saying, somebody's in trouble. And then she got really hyped up and ended up finding Kathy. And after that, Kathy, like, took her to the hospital, and she was admitted in a state mental hospital. So, after this, you would think that they were going to stay in fucking California because Audrey is in a mental state hospital. They need to be seeing her. Nope. Lane the Lamb convinced Kathy that her place was next to her husband, wherever he was at, because that's what the Lord would want it. So they picked up and moved to El Paso, Texas, to a small mobile home that Lane the Lame had bought.
This pissed me off.
Seriously,
no,
I get it. Trigger warning, sexual assault. Lane the Lame was working as a trucker, so he would come and go. But, I mean, they actually always came and went, which is why they kind of used to have them in the same colony so they could be close to their families. But right. he came and went because he wasn't there. And this is when Lane the Lame started to touch and rough on Ruthie.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
How did I know we were going to get here?
It's so bad.
So sad.
He would come in her room before going into her mom's room and, like, start to touch her, kiss her. And he told her not to tell her mom because it would hurt her feelings and he would give her ice cream the next day.
Wow.
For a couple of days, Ruthie kept to herself, but then she ended up building up the courage to tell her mom. Her mom then asked Lane about it and he apologized. So she said that the God wants us to forgive.
Oh my God, bitch, no.
And Ruthie should forgive Lane because he didn't mean anything bad.
What in the fuck?
Kathy says.
Bitch, I had all the hope for you, man. I mean, granted, this story is long gone, but, you know, character build up here. But hope, because that's what you are right now. Now we lost it.
Now that she said we need to forgive. Oh. And he didn't mean it.
And then you want to use God as a justification. I got a problem with your kind of people. This is fucked up. You don't do that shit.
There's no justification for pedophilia.
No, period.
Other than the person who's doing it is sick and should be locked up. Castrated. Locked up. They won't let you out. Locked up. They won't let you out. Get Akon in this fucking podcast.
Get him.
We're going to call him.
I'm going to call him right now. People. Still trying to find a motive. Love Star. That's my jam.
Yeah, that's my shit. So that's Akon be snapping.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come back, man. I love you.
I know. He's great.
I was going to give you time.
Lane then apologized for hurting her feelings.
Not her feelings.
Yes, he said, I'm sorry for hurting your feelings.
But you took her innocence. Fuck the feelings. You hurt a lot of other shit.
Yeah. Sorry. That's not the issue here.
Yeah.
But after here, you know, just like any regular mother would do, Kathy said all of his wives had been on road trips with her, so it was her turn to go on a road trip with Lane the Lame. But he told Ruthie to not worry about it because she was taking Mary, who was the most hardest kid to take care of because she was, you know, limp and stuff and couldn't feed right. So she only left her with four other fucking kids and Mary.
And how old is...
We're going to get to it because it's going to... Yeah. Ruthie then asked her when she would be back and Kathy said, I don't know when I get back. I'll call you though.
Dang, so she was going to just hit the road and leave Ruthie with all the kids too.
No money. She gave her a couple stamps for food stamps and that's it.
Oh my
God. Because remember, she does get food stamps. She gets all the help. At this point, Ruthie is 9 years old.
Oh my God.
Matt is 11. Luke and Aaron had to be 3. Luke had to be like 5. Luke has problems. And Matt, that was 11, was the one in charge, but Ruthie was the girl, so she had to do everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Ruthie did the best thing she could do taking care of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, she tried, but...
She was not.
There was no laundromat there, so all the clothes were dirty, dishes were dirty. Like, you know, she had a TV, so she never got really time to sit down and watch TV, so all they did was eat and watch TV. And eventually, obviously, somebody at the fucking trailer park called DCF.
Gosh.
And they came to the house. So, when they came to the house, they asked them if they knew anybody who lived there that could keep them until their mom came back. And the only person they knew was Lane, the Lame's brother. His name was Gary. So, they kept calling Gary. Gary eventually came and picked them up, but he was like, it was awkward as fuck because I didn't know those kids. Like, they didn't know me. I didn't know them. Like, I was just there with the fucking bunch of kids. Kathy did come back later on that day. And she was put on some type of probation by DCF because, you know, she was like, oh, we're not taking your kids. Yeah, but you need to watch them. And at this time, once again, Kathy made the best decision she could have and got pregnant again.
Ay, Dios.
Look, we need
from Lane to Lane.
I mean, ain't nobody else.
I mean, yeah, you're right, because they were on vacation.
Yeah.
Fucking whore. Sorry.
Exactly. Like, and not even that, like, bro.
We just don't like you, Kathy.
Even, yeah. You can't even, like, take care of your kids.
The ones you already got.
You got one in the fucking state hospital. You don't really go visit, but, like, once, twice a year, if that. Like, ugh. So, while Kathy and Lane, they would go and have these kids in the hospital in Mexico. Because since she had already had troubled pregnancies, they didn't allow her to have regular births. She has because she had C-sections. So, they went to Mexico, but at this time, they couldn't leave the kids alone because they had DCFs dropping by all the time. So, Alejandra, which is Lane Delame's first wife, and her kids came to stay in the trailer. She only brought the youngest kids. The oldest kids stayed in LeBron. And Alejandra was not nice and treated Ruthie like shit. Mm. Which happens a lot. Literally none of those fucking kids wanted their husband marrying other women. They were jealous. They mistreated their stepkids, which is not what they're supposed to do. And this is the reason why this polygamy shit does not work, especially when there's other kids involved in shit, because it's just a bunch of bullshit.
Facts.
A year after Micah was born, they were still living there because she had to stay in El Paso for 2 years, right?
Right.
You guessed it. Kathy got pregnant again.
Oh my God. Can we please just take care of the ones we already got? Because you ain't taking care of them.
Now, mind you, this is only with Kathy. He's having kids with his other women. Gosh. But this is Kathy. So, right before Kathy gets off of DCF probation, she learns that Lane remarried another woman who was an elderly woman.
Huh.
Which, although, like, not elderly, like 60, but, like, older where she couldn't marry more kids. And polygamy, although the polygamy was okay, they are supposed to be reproducing. So him marrying somebody who couldn't have kids went against what they believed. His new wife's name was Marjorie.
Okay.
So Kathy goes back to Mexico to be like, hey, bro, what's popping? Because this is some bullshit. And so Ruthie's, you know, they're back there trying to figure what's going on. Ruthie's hanging out with her sisters that she hasn't been seen in a long time. She goes to the school she used to go to just like for a play day, like bring your sister to school day. Because the school and the teachers allowed this sometime. And then when she was coming away, an elderly woman who was, I'm not sure if she was Lane Delame's mom or one of the wife's mom. Not her grandma, but just somebody else's grandma. Gave her some soup and she was like, here, because let your mom know if she needs anything. And then she was like, why would she need anything? And she gave her the sad news that her sister Mary had passed away.
Oh, my God.
No one knew from what, because, you know, she did have issues and she was just there. They didn't know what killed her. She just did stop moving. And later on that day, Mary was buried. A small funeral was held for her. And Ruthie felt useless because she always was like, I'm here to help my mom with Mary. And she was like, you know, I feel bad because I complained about having to feed her. I feel bad because I had to complain because they had to pick her up all the time, even though Mary was of walking age because she was like limp all the time. So she felt like she had nothing to do. So 2 days later, they returned to El Paso, Texas, which... but they knew that they would soon go to LeBron as Kathy wanted another.
I love how you do LeBron.
It's called LeBron, but yeah, LeBron.
No, I love it.
Cause she wanted another natural birth and you know, that's what she wanted with her kid. Cause you know,
these kids
I know these births that she keeps like keep happening.
Like, girl, let it go.
You got enough kids that should be taken care of that you're not. Now some of them have died.
And the other ones need extra care on top of that because they're not like, you know, kids that just need minimal care in the sense. They need additional care on top of that.
And you don't do that either. Mm-mm. And then, like, right, so she went, she hired her kid, she came back with a little girl named Elena. After Elena was born, the DC agent came by and she was like, yo, what's popping? Like, you got another kid.
Someone's checking in on this kid?
Yes, because remember, she's on probation.
You're right.
And she just said that she didn't know who the father was because she couldn't say that it was Lane the Lame because, you know, she was getting in trouble. Which, again, she's playing the fucking system. Like, she knew it was wrong. But because the kids were, like, taken care of regularly, even though she kept having more kids, they terminated her probation. I know. At this time, Kathy promises Ruthie that she will never get into that kind of trouble again.
Right.
But right after this, Lane convinced Kathy to bring 3 illegal Mexican men into the United States, and she allowed it, and all the kids were in the truck.
Oh my gosh.
And Ruthie says, she's like, this is when I knew my mom would never take care of me like she should.
Oh, poor girl. So, not smart enough to realize.
Yes. That. And a lot of, like I said, I read more books and heard more books. And a lot of the girls, they grow up wanting to get away from that. It's very rare the girls are like, oh, I want to be somebody. Because they see all the struggles. But somehow they get sold to somebody else because they get married at like 14.
Yeah.
So it's not like they don't have a choice. That's just what happens. So now they live in Albuquerque, Mexico. Albuquerque, New Mexico. And finally, Lane the Lame had all his wives living in the same place except for Marjorie. Marjorie kind of came and went because she had elder kids and she went to see all her kids. She was kind of like a, you know, floater.
Not a floater.
Yeah.
Love it.
In New Mexico, Lane the Lame made Ruthie and Maria. So Maria is Lane's daughter. Sell peanuts.
Okay.
Yeah, he said that this will be their contributions to the family, which again is against what they believe because they believe that the man and the women should only be bearing as many kids as they could afford. If your kids is working, you can afford them. If your kids are living off the government, you cannot afford them.
Right.
So.
Let's be honest.
You cannot fucking afford it.
So stop having kids, coño.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Ugh. So Ruthie saw Maria one day taking money from, like, what they would earn. And she was like, hey, like, why do you do that? And Maria was like, I don't want to be here forever. I want to be a grow up and leave. I want to be a fashion designer.
That's right.
I don't want to be a wife to a man who's married to many other women.
Okay, girl.
And
she had big dreams.
Love yourself.
Yes.
That's right.
And Ruthie says, she's like, sometimes me and Maria would go and buy McDonald's because we was hungry. Like, yes, the fuck?
Okay, I know. Get your chicken nuggets.
I know.
Okay. That was that hitting, Big Mac, boo.
That was hitting licks in the earn money.
Get
the
fries.
Get right. Those extra fries. Extra sauce.
Extra large.
She's like, this is when I knew that I could trust Maria. And one day she asked her, Maria, does your dad ever kiss you in the mouth? Maria said, no, never. Does he kiss you in the mouth? And Ruthie felt ashamed. So she said, no, and laughed it off. And then Maria was like, why were you actually like, I don't know. I just seen her around. So I was asking. She was asking because Lane had never stopped fucking abusing her.
Wow.
And she was confused because she was like, I'm happy that Maria's not going through this, but why am I going through this? Why is Lane choosing me to feel dirty? Because that's what she said. She felt like dirty.
Course.
Trigger warning, suicide.
Oh no.
Well, I guess it's not suicide. Suicide thoughts.
Suicide ideology.
So at this point, Ruthie was just tired of all. She was like, bro, all I do is work, be dirty, like get abused. Like at this time, Lane was doing a lot of shit like to just bring Ruthie along on a lot of stuff so he could, you know, touch her and things. But in their cult, they believe that women need to be married so they could go to a paradise of their husbands when they died.
Okay.
So Ruthie was conflicted because she was like, I'm not marrying, so would I go to my father's paradise or Lane's paradise since I had not been married? So she didn't know where she would land. And although this is
She's like, I'm not trying to go to Lane's.
No, she's like, not Lane the Lame. I'm down here.
I need answers now before I have to enter.
Okay, period. And like,
excuse me, hold on.
And she said, she's like, literally, that's what kept me from killing myself because I was ready. But she didn't want to go. And like, I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, bro, don't be teaching. Don't just so many don'ts.
Honestly. But definitely, just don't.
Yes.
Yeah.
A while later, they had took, Lane had took Ruthie and two of her stepsisters, Sally and Cynthia, out on a job. And then she said that the girls just looked sad and she was sad. And one of them was like, yo, what's wrong? And then she asked them the same thing. This is when Cynthia and Sally looked at each other and was like, basically that they were all being abused by Lane the fucking way.
Oh, no.
He's such a pig.
What a freaking asswipe.
Yes.
Rodent.
So the girls agreed to go talk to their moms. They gather Sally, who was Cynthia's and Susie's mom. So I think she is Lane's third wife. And then Marjorie is Lane's fourth wife. And they got Sally and Kathy together. And Ruthie told her what that Lane was still doing to her, what she has said she was doing to her. And, like, the moms are like, are you sure? Like, you're not saying this because you don't like him? And they're like, yeah, bitch. Like, I'm saying this because this is what's happening.
That's the one thing that pisses me off. Why would a person... I mean, okay, yes, there has been instances where people lie about shit like that. I understand. But in this specific case, there's multiple of them.
Yeah. And not only that, since we're here, only 0.2% of reported rapes and sexual molestations and stuff is...
fake.
It's fake. So, yeah, do the math, guys.
That 0.2, that's a very small number.
I was about
number.
To say only, so...
That's not even 1%.
So, 99... No,
2%. I'm sorry. I said 0.2, but it's 2%.
Oh. Okay, so 98% of the time, someone is fucking saying the truth.
Right.
So...
Come on now. Especially so, yeah. a child. I feel like...
One out of every four women gets sexually assaulted.
And I want to actually stress that, what you were just about to say. Yes, it is very unlikely that a child can sit there and fabricate a very detailed story about that because
about being touched, yes, and what it feels like when they're being touched.
Exactly, because there's no other place that a child is really going to learn this unless it's actually fucking happening.
Right,
because
I mean...
Unlike us, where not that...
We know we've experienced actual... adult sexual relations.
Exactly.
And obviously we're adults and we fucking know, right, and feels, but a fucking
3 or 4 or 5 right. year old child or however old
that's never at that point, fucking should have
that
never
should
at this
not
point
be exactly
have experienced those things yet
and
to be like
there and tell you where
it felt weird
you,
right
all this scenario
and it felt like this
and you're gonna sit there and be like
that's
are
a lie.
You sure
you're making it up.
Are you sure?
Yeah, bitch, invalidate it.
Are you okay? Yeah. Like, the hell? You know what I'm saying? How could, that's something that is, like, an actual thing. Like, you can, you know, like, look that up. Like, it's psychologically, a child cannot make that shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just can't. They don't have the experiences to do it.
So, they then went to talk to Lane the Lame. And, you know, they went, the parents talked to them. Later on, Kathy sat Ruthie down and said, I know this ain't what you want to hear, sis, but Lane is a good man. He's just having problems with God. But God said, God in the Bible said we must forgive, and that's what we will do.
No, I don't sis. Forgive you, sis.
No, sis. You want to know what I don't want to hear? You breathing at this point, bitch.
Yeah, period. You being alive.
Bro.
So, Lane...
Oh, my God. Everything she said was wrong.
Everything.
Every inch of
everything.
What she said.
All of it.
Every word.
So, Lane stayed, but he was not allowed to be around the girls, especially around Ruthie. That's the one thing Kathy did do. She tried to keep them separate. But, I mean, you got 100 fucking kids. How can you separate them? Y'all live in a fucking trailer. Like, come on, bro.
How far can they go?
Yes. So, this is the last move of the family, and they go back to LeBron. At this time, the colony had already built like a private like school just for them.
Where is if he says at the top, I must have forgot by now. Where is this colony?
Chihuahua.
In Mexico, Chihuahua. Yes. That's right.
So she was able to go to this quote unquote private school. Matt, remember the older brother, mm-hmm. who was the smartest and the most handsomest, was pulled out of school even though he was the smartest because he needed to work to help the family, which, once again, that's not what they're supposed to do.
Hey, don't you got enough wives that all of them should be the ones working?
Well, they gotta take care of all the fucking kids. Because they, the kids...
Stop fucking hunching then.
Yes, the kids do go to school.
So let these kids at least
get... You know what this low-key reminds me education. Of? Do you guys remember the Duggar family?
No.
They had their own show on TLC and everything. They were the family that had, like, hella fucking kids.
Oh, wait, stop.
Yes.
You know, they were, like, found that there was, like, some odd shit going down, and one of the brothers... The older kids was found for like child pornography and crazy shit. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like these types of things, like that's what the fuck I don't understand. These people are clearly doing something wrong. They're exploiting children, and they end up having a fucking show on TLC.
Correct.
Giving them millions of dollars.
And they still like in the show wanted to see, like we're seasons into this show. I want to say, and they still wanted to be like. We all just have one car because we can't afford, and we, no.
Not our problem.
Shut the fuck up. Not our problem.
You shouldn't have had and 17 you, fucking children.
Right.
Not to mention, that's fucking abuse on your own body. Like, this whole cult thing is just so psychologically interesting to me because there's just so many components that go into the shit.
And like, okay, like, my grandma had 10 kids, right? But her husband could afford it. Mexico don't give you... government assistant. My mom also is very big on the fact that she's like, as many as siblings, the younger siblings as I had, I never had to take care of a child until I had my own kids. Which, if you can afford it, if you can put, like Jen said, put your body through it, that is none of my business. But this right here cannot be afforded. It's definitely a child abuse of all kinds. Obviously, there's sexual abuse, there's child labor abuse, there's fucking emotional, and they're giving to children, neglect, emotional. So the kids can't even speak up because they thought that the elder people was going to hit them. So there's all types of fucking abuse.
Yeah, and there's some of them are disabled. They're not even getting proper the help. And one of them just died. From who knows what, like, come on.
Mainly because the parent wasn't the one taking care of it. It was up to the other child to take care of the child.
Yeah. So then, Matt's brother got pulled out of school, so he was working for Lane. This is when, after a little while, Matt was like, I'm done working for Lane. I talked to one of my half-siblings from their dad. And, like, the real dad. And he was like, I'm going to the United States to do a construction job. And, like, the mom of hers was like, no. And she's like, I can help you more if I live in the United States than if I do here in the farm. So he up and left. And
valid.
You know, which I feel like is valid, but it's still bullshit. Because he does not need to be helping with somebody else's children that he did not bear.
Also so true. I forgot that part. Sorry.
Yeah.
A little tipsy.
So, no, that's fine. Once Matt left, Ruthie's life became hectic because Matt helped her a lot with kids, with everything. And one time, she went out to, same thing, do a job. And at 12 years old, Lane touched her again.
Ay, Dios mio. Did she just pull a bullet through his head already?
Thank you. She acted as if she was asleep to kind of catch him and then be able to tell their mom. Her mom, and she did. Once again, her claims were dismissed. And Lane said Ruthie was overreacting because, super trigger warning, you're overreacting because I quote, I've never put anything inside of you.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, so that makes it any less fucking disgusting and traumatizing and just wrong.
That's insane.
Hold on, because it gets worse.
Oh, not
I'm out now.
Kathy then said a bunch of fucking bullshit of nothings and said, you can't be mad at him for being attracted to his pretty stepdaughter.
Oh, my
what?
God.
Okay. You know what?
But the pretty stepdaughter is a child. It's not like, I mean, to each his own, I guess. If you're 40, and at that point, you feel like you're an adult.
60.
And you're, right. And then if that's the choice you want to make in life,
so be it as it may. Okay.
But you can't be like, can't help it when it's a child. A child.
Get ran over by a car, Kathy.
And it can be helped. Don't fucking try to justify it.
Sorry, I got a little aggressive with that. But
no, and I
you
don't
know what, Kathy? I'm going to stop saying sorry to you because what the hell did you just say to your daughter, Kathy?
Yeah.
Even though right now you're probably in your grave, but whatever.
By this time, Lane's bullshit had gone all the way to the big heads, to the council, and they kicked him out. But his kickoff of the LeBron place was short-lived, as his wives had asked for Lane to be let back, as he had already, quote-unquote, suffered enough. And just like that, they were, quote-unquote, a family again.
Ugh.
But this time Ruthie was around 13 years old and Kathy had a yet another daughter.
I know, but Kathy, so, yeah, okay. Well, hold on. So your fucking pussy.
I feel like at this point I don't want to count how many
kids. We're about to get literally, it's so crazy because
I know I'm a little like,
no, look, this is my I come in with how many kids she has.
I know I'm feeling with this alcohol way too much, Amy.
This
but
Tennessee
like,
whiskey done slapped me up a couple times already.
No, but down. It's a lot of kids to keep up.
It
so,
knocked me down, but then.
Ruthie was the one that gave the idea to name the girl Leah, and they took it. So this time, Matt is already out. Audrey is in the state hospital in California. Okay. Luke is 17. Luke is the one with the delay. Ruthie was 14. Aaron was 9. Micah was 4. Elena was 3. And Leah was 1 year old.
Seven? Is that what we just counted?
Seven, yeah.
Wow.
And the one that passed away?
Wow.
Eight. Yeah.
Holy moly,
Donovan. Since Ruthie was old enough to take care of most of the kids, and actually old enough to marry, I don't know why they hadn't married her off yet, but thank God they didn't, Kathy would leave the kids that she would go, you know, with her hubby on a road trip. Because, no.
Does she feel...
knows what she's doing, and how do you feel okay with that?
Yeah.
Ay, asquerosa, puerca, sucia.
Did she feel, even though at 14 they were allowed to marry, that she wasn't because she would lose her fucking babysitter?
I think that, well,
that she would have usually, no one to take care of her kids, so she can run off.
Yeah, usually your father kind of sends you off to whomever he wants, but I think that, you know, he was trying to still molest her,
right?
You know?
Yeah, like, right. So, that's what I'm saying. Like,
so
were
he
being,
wasn't trying to.
Despite
lose his...
one's not better than the other, I feel like at this point, unfortunately, her going off to marry some fucking person would have, like, unfortunately, maybe been a saving grace.
No.
But they didn't want that. They needed her to still be there, available to babysit, and so that he could still abuse her.
Right.
Yeah, make it convenient for their life. That's so
son
sad.
Son of a biscuit.
So Ruthie mostly worried about Lukey because he still wandered off a lot. He was getting small seizures at this time. And then he wouldn't remember what to touch and what not to touch. And this was important because their house was full of bad wiring. Because by this time, they do have electricity and water, running water. But it's all shit that Lame had put fucking in without knowing anything.
Lame the lame. Fuck that guy.
So, although this was against their belief, they don't believe in, like, drinking coffee, liquor, smoking, marijuana, none of that. Ruthie was doing regular teenage stuff, hanging out, drinking.
Go ahead, bro. As you should.
And even though she drank a lot, she made sure that her siblings were always taken care of because, bro, Ruthie is a queen.
She's a writer.
Yes.
One night, randomly,
Micah came into their room and told Ruthie he was scared. And although Ruthie was taught to never put kids in their bed as they got used to it, she did anyways. And she said, "You're scared. It's okay. You're scared just as I am. Come here." Yeah. So by the end of that summer, Kathy was home a little more. And Susan, so that's the mom of Sally and Cynthia, which is the other siblings who was being touched as well. Was done with laying in the lame and left his ass right where he was at.
As Kathy should have, but you're dirty.
A long time ago, yes.
Come on, Kathy.
So around this time is when Joseph, so the real dad's birthday is. So they have like a big party and stuff there. This is when they try to do marriages and stuff. And at the dad's birthday party, she saw her big brother Matt came back from United States, and he was getting flirty and touchy with the stepsister Maria.
Okay.
Yeah. Jeez. So she was like, "I don't get what's going on because that's our stepsister, but you know, like they're not real sisters, so they were a thing." Kathy has said Maria's not the one for Matt. She's too jealous for him, and she will not let him get more than one wife. Which. Duh, bitch. The fuck.
Right. That's okay.
That's the way it works. one.
Out here trying to have multiples.
Not every right. Right. Not everyone wants.
Some people like that. And
so we get it. But in the
sorry.
You're good.
But
Kathy then went to deliver her 10th baby. Baby Holly was born January 20th, 1987.
Wow.
After this delivery, though, Kathy did not feel good. She felt weak and tired because the birth made her lose a lot of blood. So for the first time in a long time, Kathy was sick, she had told Ruthie how much she loved her. And it was right here when Ruthie realized that even though she thought her mom was her rock, Ruthie was Kathy's comfort zone.
Yeah.
She was the one who held her mom together. Mm-hmm. Matt and Maria were soon to be married. And so Maria's Alejandra's daughter, Alejandra's Lane's first wife, right. The one with the shower head. So this kind of brought those two siblings to get more together. Kathy would go to like the other children's birthday parties and stuff as they felt like they were a big old family. Due to this, Micah was really close to two of Alejandra's sons who were twin boys. They were inseparable. They were always together. And the day after the twins' birthday party, Micah and the twins were asking to play outside, and they were allowed. There was a lake there. So they was...
Oh, God, we made it part to the water.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Oh. So while playing, they ran into Alex, who's an older stepbrother. He's somebody's kid. I don't fucking know. Somebody's kid. Look up the... Actually, their family tree is not even all done because it's just impossible.
Wow.
And as he was playing with them, having them run back and forth, and then all of a sudden, the kids try to jump over a fence, and it had been an electric fence. So it shocked them.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Not all of them, just Junior and Micah.
Oh, my God.
They were screaming, but they couldn't get them off because their bodies was kind of limp, like, on both sides. They couldn't get them off because they knew that they were going to get electrocuted. And the switch was really far off. So Ruthie's trying to realize the best way to get the kids off. And Kathy comes out. Kathy has really bad vision, and she's trying to, like, figure out what's happening, and because she didn't have her glasses, she stumbled into the fence. Her body leaned over after the fence, but for whatever reason, her body was able to be taken down, and then some guys came by, and they had a car, and they were going to take Kathy and Ruthie to the hospital. But on the way there, they found Lane the Lame, and Ruthie told him what happened, and he got in the car and went with Kathy. Ruthie then yelled out, "Micah and Junior are dead. Send help." Hours later, Lane the Lame came back, but no Kathy. Kathy had passed away.
Oh, wow.
They was devastated, obviously. They held a funeral for Kathy and the kids. Everyone was wondering, well, what happened? And Kathy's mom came from California and was like, "I'll take them to California." And Lane was like, "Nah, you could take one kid at a time, like kind of to take pressure off like the kids being here, but we'll figure it out in the camp." Kathy's parents were down with the colony when Ruthie's father was alive. Once he died, he left because they were like, "Nah, they're tripping. They're killing people. We're out."
That's not what we're with.
Yeah. And like once they were doing the funeral and stuff, Lane apologized as it was him who wired the fans wrongfully. Ruthie this time hated him more than ever.
Ay, Dios mío, what a bitch. Mm.
So he really couldn't do nothing right.
Nothing. He's not good for nothing.
Right.
For nothing.
Put him in a bubble and send him off.
Yeah, just kill him. He was the reason why her little brother was dead. He was the reason why her mom was dead. So, you know, life goes on. 2 months later, Ruthie was kind of like going houses to houses, like being taken care of. Like she was help, but she needed other help with like other wives. And at this time, Lane would take Luke out on trips. because even though Luke had his disability, he was very strong and he was very hardworking. And then he once decided he was going to take Elena on the trips too. And remembering what happened to her, Ruthie was like, no, motherfucker, over my dead body, you would take any of my sisters. That's if you take them, you got to take me. So Elaine fell back and was like, okay, I won't take Elena because, you know, Luke is actually working. Elena was a little girl. She didn't want to be out there. So after this interaction, kind of Luke saw that Ruthie was like, you know, have had their back and stuff. So then Luke tells Ruthie that while sleeping, he felt as Lane had been touching on him while they were out on trips.
On Luke?
On Luke. On Luke, yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, like, this man...
a fucking pedophile. He's a pedophile. He's seriously sick. He's fucking... He knew that he could get away with shit like that in that colony, and that's why he probably joined it.
Yep.
Kill him!
And now that... Yeah.
Because when Kathy... Okay, you gotta see, Kathy was... either 14 or 17 when he married the first husband. So she was pretty young when she married Lynn the Lame, too.
Yeah.
You're right.
It was here that Ruthie lost her shit. She was like, not my disabled little brother. You're not doing that shit to him.
Facts.
Ruthie then, at this point in the colony, they only had like this one payphone. She ran to that payphone and called Matt. And Matt, she was like, Matt, all she said was Luke. And he knew what was happening. He was like, that dirty son of a bitch, I'm going to come get you. I'm going to come get all the kids. But you need help from somebody in there because all of y'all are young. And they're not going to believe that me and Maria's the stepsister, that's the wife, are y'all's parents. So crying, worried, you know, she starts talking to Marjorie. And tells everything that happened to Marjorie. And Marjorie didn't even know about any of this because Marjorie was like, nah, bitch, we out.
Yeah.
When are they going to come pick us up?
Good. Ow, fuck.
They picked them up. They picked them up. Like, he took that trip that night. So it was like either the middle of the night or the next morning. I'm not sure. Put them all in the car and went out to California.
Good.
And just like that, Ruthie and her siblings were free. They were free from the cult. They were free from poverty. I mean, they still had struggles to get through, but they were free from poverty. They were free from their abuse of their stepfather.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Shout out to Matt for coming through and saving the day.
Peace it. That's not going to flow with me.
No, the fuck is not. Wow.
Ruthie ended up getting, like, two jobs. Matt would help her, too. And, like, she raised all the kids on her own, eventually. All the kids on her own.
All her siblings?
Uh-huh. All her siblings on her own. And then one by one, Lane the Lame's wives left him because he was a piece of shit. And eventually he was making a trip, like, from his regular to either Mexico to the United States to Mexico. And he got a heart attack and died.
Good.
As he should with his pedophilic piece of shit ass. And that is the end of my case.
Wow. That was such a kick. Like, so just... befuddled. Yeah. What the fuck? What a fucking ride.
Like, off rip, this started wild. Off rip.
And honestly, guys, like, I recommend all the books that I just said. I'm gonna link them to when we post the content.
Yeah.
One, two. I'm on my way. Once I'm done with this book, I'm gonna read the Book of Mormons because I'm trying to see what the fuck it is that people are listening to. Because what the fuck?
What makes you decide, you know what? That's the kind of life, like, I'm trying to live.
Like we said with Jim, I understand polygamy. If that's what you want to do, you're attracted to women and men, and you want a triple, whatever it's called.
Or you want two husbands.
Yeah, two husbands. Whatever you want, I get that. But once you bring kids that you are neglecting, abusing, and all of the above, and letting other people abuse, that's the fucking issue that I have with this cult. I don't give a fuck what your preference is. I don't give a fuck if you want to live in a house where you guys have orgies every day, that's fine. Do as long it. As kids are not involved.
Right.
Uh-huh. Because a lot of these women also got brought into marriages at 14 to 17, so they didn't even have a say. They didn't even know what the fuck was going on.
Right.
And like I said, most of them growing up did not want to be in this type of marriage. Right. So Yeah, that was my case, and I'm still listening to a lot of books about it, and it's very interesting. You guys will see pictures and stuff of it. It's really cool.
If that was good. And I'm only gonna say this just because this is becoming more of an open discussion, but cult survivors or children of cult survivors are starting to talk about their experiences. Yeah. So if there's anybody listening that would like to share, you know, and talk about something like that, feel free to let us know. We'd be happy to hear your story. You're more than welcome to come on and share it yourselves. We wouldn't retell it. You can share it yourself. So feel free to let us know. We're here for it. We want to give you the space to talk about it.
Even if you want to share it, tell it anonymously. Absolutely. For whatever reason. You know, you have your reasons if that's the case.
Yeah. Everybody deserves to tell their story. If you want it to be told, emphasis.
Right.
You know, that's why we won't retell stories like this. This obviously was made into a book. So obviously stories like this, if you're writing a book, it's because you want your story to be told or to be read and all that stuff. But a personal story, obviously, we will keep discretion and respect your privacy, but you know, we're here to give you a platform to speak your truth if you want to. So feel free to
absolutely
do that.
Absolutely. And with that said, at least this one, we're done. We're out. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Las Chicas del Crime. We hope you join us next time for another episode full of crime y chisme. Give us a follow on all of our socials, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, which we will list on the description of this episode. Please also rate our show and leave us a review, as that helps bring awareness to our podcast. We appreciate it. Gracias.